Now, I want to give you what the Lord's give us this evening. And just out of Hebrews chapter 11, you know, we've started a series of messages out of this called On the Roll Call of Faith. And I thought about, with these kids graduating high school, I thought about preaching on no man can serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other, cleave to one, and despise the other, for he cannot serve God and mammon. And I thought that'd be pretty good to send them off after graduation in life. You can't serve two masters. You got to make up your mind who you're going to serve tonight. Amen. But as time got closer and closer, the Lord just kept impressing on my heart to preach on this feller by the name of Enoch tonight. This is where we got to the last time in this series. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, I want you to read with me one verse and then we'll be seated. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you asking now to help for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'll tell you this funny little story, and then I'll preach tonight. As we was down in the prayer room tonight, as I got ready to pray up here, I'm looking around. I got down there in the prayer room, and I knelt down there. We got the old mourner's bench down there, and we were praying. And right in the middle of that thing, it felt like I heard somebody just snap their fingers. And for just a minute, it made me pop my eyes open while I was praying. And when I popped my eyes open, there was a big old spider down there, Nick. About the body of that thing was, it looked to be about this big around, you know. You're down there praying, and all of a sudden you open your eye, and you got your left eye open. And I prayed, Zach, with my left eye open the rest of that time we was praying. I wasn't letting that thing move till I got it killed. Amen. And then that made me nervous to pray, that's for sure. But anyway, tonight, I thought that'd make you a little lighthearted tonight. Listen, there's two things I really hate. That's a snake and a spider. Amen. They're both sneaky, and I hate both of them. Amen. I really do. The only good ones are dead ones. But tonight, the Lord gives us, out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as he was giving us the roll call of faith, those out of the Old Testament that loved God and had faith in the Lord. As we said the last week or the week before last, when it come to faith, we only find that word faith two times in the Old Testament. One time, I believe it was in the book of Deuteronomy, where the Lord said that the children of Israel was a people that had no faith. And then we find another time the scripture talked about that the just shall live by faith. And so tonight we know that we are to be a people of faith. We're to have faith in what God's word says. We're to have faith in what God has told us that he would do. I asked you last time as I preached on this, I had to remember this one verse, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, where the Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now if you look in the scripture right here, it said by faith Enoch was translated. It did not say that by faith Enoch served God. It did not say that by faith Enoch loved God. It did not say that by faith Enoch wanted to do right for God. And I believe that he done all those things by faith. But it says by faith he was translated. Listen, I believe somewhere along the line God had told him, listen, there's coming a day that I'm going to take you out of here. I believe there's coming a day, Enoch, that there's going to be a day when you're not going to see death, when you're not going to have to suffer death as other men have because of your life. Hey, do you realize tonight, church, that by faith, I believe we're going to be translated one day. I believe that as the church of the living God, because we're saved, there's coming a day that he's going to say, come up hither, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to take off like a rocket, and we'll be with him. Amen. Thank God. But by faith, you said, you can't prove that about any. You can't prove that about the rapture neither, but it's coming. Amen. Because the word of God says so. Amen. I've never seen and that the rapture take place, but I know that it will one day because scripture says so. Amen. Let me say quickly by way of introduction, I'll make a mention of this here again. In a minute, Enoch lived in a time when men died. Genesis chapter 5, if you go over and look at that, and we'll look here in a minute. And Brother West talked about that last week and that message on the date with death. Having all those men, it give a list. And that from Adam all the way down to Noah. And it give a list of how those men was born, how they had children, and how they died. except for one man, and that was Enoch. The Bible said that Enoch did not die. Enoch lived in a time when men were wicked. If you go over to Genesis chapter 5, where men died, and you know the only time that it said anything good about a man right there was by the name of Enoch. Out of all those men that lived in Methuselah, his very son lived 969 years, and he didn't say nothing good about Methuselah's 969 years. Before those 365 years that Enoch lived upon the face of the earth, the Bible tells us that he was translated and that he had a testimony that he pleased God. And so we come down here, and I believe if we look in Scripture that we find out that Enoch is one of the greatest types of the churches that we find in the Old Testament. What do you mean he's one of the greatest types? He was translated and that out of this world before the judgment of God was poured out during Noah's day. Listen, even though the ark is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen tonight, you do need to get on the ark of safety, the old ship of Zion. You need to get on that tonight. Know that you're saved. Know that you're born again. Know that you're going to heaven before it's too late. Hey, he's coming. He's coming. Amen. Amen. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And that's where we're at today. But I want to look tonight at this man who lived by faith that believed God that he was going to be translated. Do you believe that you'll be translated one day? Do you know that you're going to be translated? I remember when I was a kid going to school. Listen, I've been raised under premillennial doctrine all my life. I have. I've been raised under that doctrine, and I don't believe it specifically because I was raised under it. I believe it because I can prove it out of my Bible. Amen. But you know what? I remember being in school, and boy, I can remember thinking when test time would come. And I'm talking about when I was a kid. Boy, that'd be a good day for Jesus to come back. I didn't want to take that test, you know. I mean, listen, believed it so much back in, and there comes a time, or it seems like there comes a time that we just don't seem like that we believe that God's going to come again. We get lulled to sleep and rocked to sleep. But I believe that by faith, Enoch believed he's going to be translated. I believe by faith I'm going to be translated one day. So what can we learn and that from the life of Enoch tonight if he believed he was going to be translated? Take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis chapter 5 tonight. Genesis chapter 5. I want us to look. Boy, I appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Genesis chapter 5. And a lot of people call this, and I do too, call it the graveyard chapter. Genesis chapter 5, because all you find is where man dies in this whole chapter right here. Man dies, he's born, he dies. Verse 18, the Bible said, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. So here we find a man by the name of Enoch comes on the scene right here. The Bible tells us, I believe it is, and that from the in the book of Jude, and you can read this right here and find out that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. I believe that was no mistake. Seven is God's perfect number, a number of completion. And we find right here as we go down to verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to say, number one, first of all, this man that was mentioned in the roll call of faith that I believed he'd be translated, can I say that first of all, he walked with God. He had a daily walk with God. Listen, the Bible tells us right here that after the time that he had Methuselah, I don't know if that had something to do with it that caused him to walk with God. But in his 65th year, the Bible tells us that is when he began to have a walk, and that with the Lord. Can I tell you, if you've not established a walk with God, you need to. But you moms and dads, you most definitely need a walk with God. You need in that wisdom how to raise your children. You need in that a testimony that's before your children that can help them in this world. Amen. They need to see you walking with God. Well, what does it mean in that to walk together with somebody. But when you walk with somebody, that means you're spending some time together with them. You can't walk with somebody and not spend time together with them. Well, I think about when it says that he walked with God in verse 24. I mean, how much time that he spent with the Lord. Out of all these men in Genesis chapter 5 that should have known about God, that were probably great men. And if you look, the Bible tells us that some of them were great men. And out of all of them, Enoch is the only one that walked with God. He spent time with him. Well, you know something else? God spent time with him. They communed. One with another. You know what that word commune means? That word commune means to converse or to talk, but it means to talk together about things that are familiar. Can you talk to the Lord about things that are familiar with Him? See, God ain't interested. Now let me get this straight right here. God ain't interested in worldly things.
That's right. Come on.
He's interested in heavenly things.
Amen.
He's interested in spiritual things.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's interested in you being interested in spiritual things. He's interested in you being interested in heavenly things. Hey, listen tonight. When it says that Enoch walked with God, he spent time and that with the Lord, and no doubt he talked to him, and God talked back to him. Amen. How much time as his people do we spend in his book? Preacher, you're all the time talking about that book. I wish you'd quit talking about that book. Hey, I ain't got nothing else to talk about.
Amen.
Except this book right here.
Come on.
This is it.
Right.
This is it. I can't make it so important to you from the youngest to the oldest. You need to fall in love with the God of this book and fall in love with this book. It'll make your life so much better. It did mine. So you're talking about living for the Lord getting easier. Boy, if you'll just fall in love with that book right
Amen.
There. Just fall in love with it. Fall in love with it. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in prayer. Spend time in meditation. Listen, the psalmist David said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Hey, listen, I don't know how you all are, but there's times that I lay awake in the bed. Y'all ever do that? Lay awake in the bed.
Come on.
I've learned something. The older you get, the more you lay awake in the bed sometimes. Now listen, I got there and grubbed the other day, and I mean with an axe and a handsaw. I went to bed and slept good that night.
Yeah.
Amen. You grub with an axe and a handsaw, you're going to sleep pretty good. I'll be honest with you. And I'm still hurting because of it. Amen. Listen, there's times that I'll lay awake or get up, and sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. If I can't go back to sleep, I end up on the couch sometimes and just lay down there. And sometimes I just think about the good things and that of the Lord, what He's done for me and what He's brought me through. David said right here, I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy works, I muse on the work of thy hands. Well, I like to lay down there sometimes or just sit there. Sometimes I'll kick back in my study and this gets me in trouble. And sometimes I'll just kick back in my study chair and I'll sit in there and I'll just think about some things that God's done. Not only out of the Scripture, but done for me. Sometimes I think about what He's done for other people. Boy, you sit and you listen to stories about how He brought you through. Yeah, listen, I could ask some of you all everything that God's brought you through and we'd be here the rest of the night.
Amen.
For the Lord, for you to tell some stories about the Lord. I said, preacher, I'm young. I ain't got no stories to tell about the Lord. And not a great man. You live long enough and you will tonight. I'm telling you, fall in love with Him now. But Enoch walked with God. He had a daily walk with God. I believe he spent day in and day out with the Lord. It wasn't hit or miss. Because the Bible said, I'm getting ahead of myself. But it said that he pleased God. Listen, if it was a hit or miss kind of thing, I don't believe that he'd please God. But listen, they communed and they fellowship together. Listen, when they walked the same way and they were walking together and spent time together, they were fellowshipping together. What do you mean they were fellowshipping? Well, Amos asked the question in chapter 3. He said, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk together with the Lord except you two are on the same sides together. He won't walk with you. Do you know that? You might try to walk with him, but he ain't going to walk with you. I begin to think about how that our relationship is likened that to a husband and a wife with him. The marriage relationship goes so much better when the husband and the wife are headed in the same direction. It works out so much better when they can walk together. Be agreed together. I'm not saying that, friend, that we're always going to have the same mind and the same thought, but listen, as one another, but we're headed in the same direction. What makes our home better? You know what? You know what the Lord's concerned about? What makes our life better tonight in Him? And so they fellowshipped. You know, me and my wife, we like some of the same things. Now, listen. Listen, there's some things I like to watch on TV every now and again that she don't like to watch. But you know what? Because she loves her husband, sometimes she'll sit there and she'll watch some of them shows. And I was going to say vice versa. Sometimes I get up and don't watch what she's watching. Amen. But she watches what she wants. And I'm just using that as an example. You know, we both like to get out and ride around sometimes. Just like to see where the road takes us sometimes. If you ain't never tried that, you'll try. You may hate it. And that's all right. But me and my wife likes that sometimes. We don't have to end up nowhere in particular, but just get out and ride around. See, and what I'm saying is we kind of like the same thing. And when it comes to fellowshipping with the Lord, can two walk together except they be agreed? I believe the Lord and Enoch was headed in the same direction because they were both agreed on the same thing. Enoch wanted to please the Lord, didn't he? Can you walk and fellowship with the Lord tonight? I thought about that fellowship that we have in the Lord. You ought to walk with Him sometimes and try it. It's a wonderful thing. It's a sweet thing. Just to be in the Lord's will and to be walking in the direction that you need to go. I thought about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the Lord had resurrected out of the tomb, and He joined on that road with them. And He didn't reveal Himself to them till they got over there and got to breaking bread. And He finally revealed Himself to them. And they headed back and that into Jerusalem. And here's what they said as they got to going, talking about the Lord. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? Boy, you ought to try that sometime. Just get on the same path that the Lord's headed and let Him talk to you. Let Him commune with you. And then not only that, they said, did our heart not burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while He opened unto us the Scriptures?
Amen. Yeah.
Boy, you ought to take your book sometime and boy, let it get real quiet in the house. In other words, you got to turn your TV off and your phone off and everything else. And boy, open this book and let the Lord begin to talk to you. It still excites me to this day when this book becomes alive. You can't walk with Him if you're not headed in the same direction as Him. He wants you to be doing right and living right. But this man that was translated by faith walked with God. Do you have a daily walk with Him? In Scripture, a daily walk with Him. Hey, listen, in prayer time, meditating, just a life with Him. But then you know, number two, we learn from the text Scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, not only did Enoch walk with God, but then number two, he had a testimony that he pleased God. What's our testimony say tonight about us and the Lord? I told you this morning, it's one thing for you to please me. But it's another thing for you to please the Lord. As I'll say it again, listen, it's one thing for you to please me. It's another to please the Lord. If you're pleasing Him, that's all that matters tonight.
Amen.
That's it. If you're making Him happy, that's all that matters. And so I ask you a question tonight. Is the Lord pleased with how you live?
Come on.
See, you're going to realize there's coming a day when it does matter how you live. It does matter. You may not think so right now. I'm saved and going to heaven. I'm happy that I'm going to heaven. But nothing else really matters. You're wrong tonight. You're wrong tonight. You can't live in sin. You can't commit sin and get away with it.
Right.
Hey, it's going to find you out, and there comes a reaping day one day.
Right.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. Do us all good to put that in your memory bank. You think you hide sin, but you ain't hiding it. God already knows. Mom, Daddy may know, and you just never know. Preacher might know.
Amen.
And I ain't even peeking in the windows and reading your newspaper neither. Amen. But Enoch walked with God. And I believe that's one reason that his testimony was that he pleased God. Now, the Bible said right here that he was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Sometimes when I read this scripture, I think him and God had such a wonderful relationship that even in time fell, even in time came, that's closer to God's house. And God said, why don't you just go home with me?
Amen. Amen.
And Enoch did. When in a time when nobody else seemed to want to serve God, Enoch pleased him. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 5, do you see the scripture saying that they pleased God? Don't see nobody else saying that. What I find amazing is out of the roll call of faith, when we come over here, we find the first parts of it deals with creation. Then it deals with Abel. And then by the time we leave Abel, we come to a man called Enoch. Out of all the men that lived before him and that was before him, guess who's there? Enoch. What's it say about you tonight? Are you walking pleasing to the Lord? Is God pleased with your life? You know what that word pleasing means? That means to be satisfied with. Is God satisfied with us tonight in how we live? I'm talking about a man that by faith he knew he was going to be translated. He knew he was going to go see God one day. He knew he was going to stand in His presence. Hey, that's us tonight. You're going to stand in the presence of a just and a righteous and almighty Father. And how are you going to stand before Him? It really don't matter, preacher. You're mistaken.
Amen.
Read Amen. Your Bible. Hey, if you're lost tonight, you're going to stand before Him Amen. At the great white throne judgment. Unsaved. Going to be judged. Found guilty in that of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that to be sentenced forever and ever in an eternal lake of fire,
Amen.
Never to escape.
Right.
Never to escape. I believe that Enoch, I believe others could tell that Enoch was different. Think about that for just a minute. Bible said that he pleased God. Walking in a time when men were dying and men were wicked. And the Bible said that he pleased God. Don't you reckon he was a little different? Think about that for just a second. Don't you reckon he might have been just a little peculiar, just a little odd? I mean, compared to the rest of the world, we're to be a peculiar people. I give up on trying to join in with the world a long time ago.
Yes, thank God.
I don't care nothing about it.
Thank God. Thank
don't care nothing about it. I remember my preacher used to say, you don't have to go down there to the sewer plant and jump in to find out that it's the sewer plant.
Amen.
You don't have to go down to the world and jump in to figure out you don't have to be there tonight. You can smell it, you can see it, you can tell it way before you get there that I don't need no part of this. If you're saved tonight, you need to be separated and that out of the world tonight. Romans chapter 12. What did he say? Brethren, I beseech thee therefore the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. He said, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Enoch was a man that was going to be translated, but he was transformed while he was here. What's a good message in that too? Amen. Can I ask you tonight? The Bible said that the Lord was pleased with Enoch. Is the Lord pleased with you? Out of everything that you do for the Lord, is He pleased? Some of you may not be doing nothing tonight. May not be doing nothing. May not be living a Christian life. May not be striving to do anything. You say, well, I'm in church tonight. I'm glad you're here. I'm not trying to beat up on you tonight by no means. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is we need a walk that is pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
I don't want you to think that. What did I tell you this morning? I know how vile and how wicked I am. I know me. I do. But I strive to have that walk with Him. Is it always perfect? Probably not. But it ain't because of God. It's because of me. You see. But the Bible said that Enoch pleased God. I'm going to ask you again. If heaven rolled back and wrote something about you, what would it say tonight? We find that not only Enoch pleased God, he satisfied the Lord in from his separation from the world to the clinging of the things of God. I began to think as I studied this, you know why the church is in the shape that it's in? You know why the church is in shape? You know why the world, you know why the church looks like the world and acts like the world? Because we've got so much world on us. I believe the Lord was happy with Enoch, and I sure do want Him to be happy with me. I believe another reason the Lord was happy with Enoch was because he's living by faith. I do. He said by faith, Enoch believed that he'd be translated. I believe the Lord is happy when we just believe Him tonight. Well, then last of all, number three. See, I told you I'd hurry and get done tonight. Some of you ain't hurried fast enough, have I? Take your Bible and go to the book of Jude. Only one chapter in the book of Jude. What was so great about this man that just had faith, that believed God, that he'd be translated? He walked with God, and he had a testimony that he pleased God. But then number three, Enoch testified of the Lord. If you look in Jude, in verse 14, the Bible said, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." Now if you go back up and you look, they're talking about wicked men and vile men. Hey, listen, I believe that Enoch lived in a time when men were wicked and he knew about wicked men. I think we know about wicked men. I think we know about wicked women.
Amen.
I do, vile men and vile women. I think we're living in one of the worst days that there ever was for wickedness and evilness in the world. I believe we're living in it. And we can make a difference in it. But can I tell you something? Enoch knew something. Enoch knew more about the second coming of the Lord being the seventh from Adam than most preachers today that's got a finished revelation. Enoch knew more about the second coming of God than most preachers do.
Amen. Amen.
He did. I mean, that is amazing to me that all the way back in the time of Enoch, he was already prophesied and testified, and that of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? See, he prophesied of these things. Look what he testified of, prophesied of. He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." That's plural, by the way. Did you catch that? 10,000s. Huh? 10,000s. Plural. More than one 10,000. Hey, listen, take your Bible and go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. Boy, I'm telling you, tribulation period's over with at this time. Revelation chapter 19, wrath is coming. He's fixing to wander up at this point. And here's what John said. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." That is the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the armies," look ye there, "which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." What did Enoch say? He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Listen, said, "Here comes this army following him, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He knew the Lord was coming. He knew. He told them, he prophesied of the Lord's second coming. He prophesied, look in verse 15, of the judgment that was coming. I believe Enoch warned everybody that would listen. What was it that the Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians chapter 1 when he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. See, hey, listen, Paul said, "I preach it, but I warn that he's coming." I warn. Well, it means to inform somebody that there's a penalty, that there's danger coming. Danger coming when you're warning somebody about something. If I tell you about something, there may not be no danger involved. But if I warn you about it, there's danger. There's danger. And listen, the Bible said right here that Enoch, he warned those of his day, hey, that judgment is coming. Can I tell you, judgment came, didn't it, for his day? Did not judgment come for his day? Sure did. God wiped the whole earth clean, except for 8 people. But listen, he ain't talking about that judgment. He's talking about the judgment that's coming at the end of time, because he's talking about the Lord Jesus and that coming back with his saints. What are we telling, Pope? What are we telling today? Ezekiel chapter 33. "So thou son of man, O son of man, I've set thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." That scares me. But you know, sometimes it don't scare me enough to witness like I should. Think about that for a minute. There's coming a day when we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to have to give an account for why we didn't warn somebody. And the Bible said right here in the book of Ezekiel that at that watchman's hand, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Sometimes I wonder how much blood is going to be required of us. He said in the next verse, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." I may not be able to deliver you, but I've delivered me.
Amen.
I can't make folk get saved. Man, I have pulled my hair out over the years trying to get folk saved, trying to get folk to live right. Hey, listen, I talked to an old deacon the other day, and here's what I loved it. I mean, I wasn't even there for this reason. But God just come by and helped. He said, you know, all our job is a soul, ain't it? Yes, it is. Whether it falls by the wayside, on stony ground, thorny ground, or on good ground, our job's just a soul. I can't make you get right with God. I can't make you get saved if you're lost tonight. But I can tell you, Jesus loves you. And He's coming again. I can tell you that you're going to meet Him one day in death. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 is appointed unto men once to die. And after this judgment, you're going to meet Him. You need to be ready. If you read on over in the book of Jude, he said this, of some have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear. Pull them out of the fire, hadn't even the garment spotted by the flesh. Enoch. I think Enoch was a preacher. I do. I know he was a prophet. But I mean, we tie them all together, preachers and prophets, and so on and so forth. Because the Bible said that he prophesied of these saying. Can I tell you, the Lord's always got His man somewhere.
Yes.
And what even goes on beyond His man is He's always got His people.
Amen.
And that's you tonight if you're saved.
Right. Yeah.
He's got you where you're at for a reason. Now, He may have you where you're at tonight. He may be beating the far out of you. And that's because you ain't dealt with some sin that's in your life. And listen, I try to stay away from that stuff. Because I know that it heads to the hog pen.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it goes. And it's just one step at a time. Now listen to me. When I told you about that preacher this morning, he didn't get there overnight. He didn't get down there overnight, down there in the hog pen. I watched that thing happen a long time coming. He talked to me a couple of times about this and that and wanted me to justify some things for him, and I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to justify your sin.
Amen.
9 times out of 10, you ask somebody, well, what do you think? Unless you're being honest now, because you truly don't know. Most time folk already know the answer. But they just want their sin justified. But he said that Enoch prophesied. We ought to be telling of the good news that the Lord Jesus can save sinners. Enoch never could get them right. But I don't believe that kept him from trying. He walked with God. He pleased God. And he testified of God. What about us tonight, church? What about you? I believe folk could look at him, tell he was different, and that he lived different. Let's bow our heads tonight as we get some verse of invitation. How's your life tonight? Do you have a walk with the Lord? One that is a fellowship with the Lord. If I could tell you young people anything tonight that I wish somebody would have told me when I was your age, man, start a relationship. Start a relationship with Him now. I mean in earnest. With the Lord, a prayer time, a daily Bible reading. Just start that now. Oh, fall in love with God. Fall in love with God. There's nothing in the world tonight. There's nothing for you. It has nothing for you tonight. Oh, hey, listen to me tonight, older people. There's nothing out there tonight.
That's right.
There's nothing out there. That preacher that failed that I told you about, when he went off the deep end, if you'd let me put it that way, his boys was just about raised. Him and his wife divorced. Man, he moved away from home, got away from everybody that knew anything about him. He got away. And now they're trying to get him into drug rehabilitation. It may have took 12, 15 years for him to get there. But you know what? He got there. He found himself just like the prodigal down there in the hog pen. But you know what? The Bible talked about Enoch and said that he walked with God. Oh, if you'll establish yourself a walk with the Lord tonight, a daily walk, going in the same direction as the Lord, it'll help you tonight. It'll help you. Listen, you'll please God. That's all that matters tonight, church, is that we're pleasing Him. Oh, don't you want to be pleasing to Him? I do. I really do. I want to be pleasing to Him. And I want to testify. I want to testify of Him.